First, I want to tell you, if you didn't show up at this conference, make plans to be there next year. It will touch your life like no tomorrow. In fact, there were people there from Manatech that came in and they said, Mary Jo, I couldn't stand it. Last year I heard your Monday call and I said, it was so awesome. It impacted you and your group so much. She says, I've got to be there. So she came and she loved a couple of people and they loved that every moment they were just frothing at the mouth over everything that was going on. It was like they couldn't get enough of the speakers. And that's exactly what happens at these things. Know people that the majority of the speakers, and they must have had 60 speakers, I mean, at least 60 speakers. These guys are, most of them are millionaires in the business. Some of them are making $1 million, you know, plus $2, $3, $4 million a year. Some of them are making, you know, $300,000 a month. Everybody's different, but they're all successful in network marketing. And they are such awesome people. And the whole concept, they all fly in for free because they look at this as a huge dedication to grow our industry and to uplift our industry into a really admirable industry. They want to clean out the soft spots and make sure we're all taking this on in a new way, in a new light, and you know, that we all step into being professionals. And you know what? It didn't even take one night and I was already going, man, I love this business model. So you can imagine by the end of the weekend, I didn't really want to even do anything except go out and prospect and tell everybody they're missing it. If they're not in network marketing, they're totally missing the best business model on the face of the earth. And so you can see the belief system that's grown. But let me run through. I don't have time to jazz up all that because I want to run through each of these speakers little by little. And I didn't put down what company a lot of these were with, even though I found out each and every one of them. I did on a couple of them, but it doesn't matter who they're with. It just, and all it did to me when I found out who they're with, I was going, half of them I never heard of before. There's so many MLM companies out there today that are doing great things and making huge differences in people's lives. It's just a neat thing to see. Okay, so let's jump in. Curtis Broom, he said, I want to be free to be what I want. Isn't that great? I just wrote that because I thought that would impact some people. You might want to put that up on your wall. I want to be free to be what I want, right? Margie Alaprandi spoke. She said, how you show up this weekend. This is a great, if you're ever doing a meeting, I suggest you use some of her language right out of one because that's super to start off any kind of meeting that you're doing or convention. She talks about don't give up on your vision. If it's faded, quit it, bring it back. Don't think of that you want to look at your past as ancient history and deal with it's my time. Start today, it's my time. And for many of you, that's very appropriate around your Manatech business. Start today, it's your time. But where do you have to start? You got to start with shifting you, right? 6 steps to be top of your pay plan. She only covered 3 of them in her talk. Apparently she has a book out there. You can look up her books. But she talked about being decisive. And that terminology came up over and over again. Make a decision. Until you make a decision, nothing's going to happen. You got to make a decision. Some of you get involved in network marketing. You go, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know how far I want to go. I don't know. Well, you know what? Nothing's going to happen. You're so indecisive. So make a decision. Be really clear. Get clarity. Beliefs, of course, are critically important, and we choose them. We have beliefs that have been given to us, but we choose our beliefs. We can get rid of the old one, the stinking thinking, and replace them, but we choose our belief, and that creates the reality in our lives. And move into action. You got to be in action. I love the Waldo Emerson quote, whatever course you decide upon, there's always someone to tell you that you are wrong. So when people say you're wrong, guess what? Ralph Waldo Emerson said, they're always going to be out there. Every single thing, no matter what you try to do. And she talked about, you know, you can control the seed. You can't control which seeds blossom, but you can control the planting. In other words, we can go out there and recruit 1 million people. We don't know which ones are going to blossom, but we know we have the capacity to recruit a lot of people. So don't let the non-blossoming convince you this doesn't work because you have no control over non-blossoming. You only have control over planting. Law of harvest, there's a season for planting, a season for harvest. So in other words, be patient. They don't happen in the same season. Jordan Adler, he's been to all of these. He's terrific. He's the guy that spent 10 years, 11 years in 11 different companies, went broke in every single one of them. He was dead broke, had not a dime, and then he got some training from somebody who said, just do 3 STPs a day. And he talked to him about it, of course, a little bit more than that, around how to do all that. And within 2 years, he became a 6-figure earner, and now he's a 7-figure earner. That guy's incredible. He just got done helicopter learning, becoming a helicopter pilot, because it was one of the things on his bucket list. You talked about what is your business worth. Are we comparing our businesses when we go out there and talk to people? And some of you have a hard time doing this because you look at you're not making a lot of money, but it doesn't matter what money you're making. You got to define what distinguishes us from other people. A business that pays residual, work from anywhere, no geographic limitations, mentors for the rest of your life. You grow without employees. The company covers all the research, legal, product development, payroll, inventory, all that stuff, right? And then he said 4 steps to your dream. Have the dream. Schedule it. This is a big thing for me. Schedule your dream. So don't just have a dream, but schedule it. You got to put it on your calendar. It doesn't mean anything until it's on your calendar. Now, it might be on the calendar for 2 years from now, 5 years from now, but it's on the calendar. Trust the process and don't stop until it's done. 4 steps, right? Okay, next guy, Curtis Broom. He was a great guy, too. He was one of the, somebody told me he's the partner of Eric Worre. So he says, we give people a choice. Becoming a millionaire is simple, but not easy. But it's simple. And he liked the language, I've seen something. It's probably not for you, but it might be. Would you like to take a look? You know, it's something simple language. Use simple language. MLM is about 3 questions. And this is another great thing for you guys to ask people. You can go out there and talk to people and you go, are you happy? Do you have a plan? Would you like to see one? It probably is not for you, but do you want to take a look at it anyway? Easy, simple, 3 simple steps. Are you happy? Find out if a person's happy. Do they have a plan? Where are they going in their life? If they don't, would they like to look at one? It may not be for them, but, you know, would you still like to take a look at it? Because that's what you have for people, a plan in their life to achieve that ultimate happiness in their life, to be able to do what they want, when they want, and have personal freedom, right? And the MC said, we're going to build our life up to the lowest point of our lowest belief. So start thinking about that. Why is my life the way it is right now? Probably because my beliefs are so low. And if I could just push my belief factor, I can raise the output in my life, the results in my life, if I push the belief factor. Walter Nussbaum got up and talked. He talked about 3 things that comprise core needs of all people, physical, psychological, and then that existential, which is really like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, your self-actualization. What is your voice in life? If you could do anything you wanted to, money and time were no object, what is it you would create? That's that existential fulfillment, right? He said 7 traits of successful people, victory. If you learn this, write this out, and you live a victory life. Practice the victory life. Vision, initiative, character, time management, optimism, relational skills, yearning. Got to be hungry, right? That's what yearning is, hungry. Think of those things. Use them if you can in your business. Kathy Robbins talked about the big 3 things that create trust, honesty, integrity, respect. By the way, this is one of my favorites. Kathy, isn't Kathy the one from Wisconsin? No, Donna Johnson, I'm sorry. No, the big 3 things that create trust, see, I even get confused. Honesty, integrity, respect. She talked about, she's Paula Pritchard's partner, right? Oreo, chocolate. When you're approaching people that have an issue, you know, in your downline, you first tell them how great they are. So it's like the Oreo cookie, how great they are. Then you discuss the issue, and then you end up saying, you reinforce how great they are. So it's like an Oreo cookie. That was a good concept in terms of big, good leadership approach to issues. The big 3 lead to accepting, which is honesty, integrity, and respect, accepting responsibility, consistent action, and involvement in decisions. Kevin Marino talked about learning to take control of your decisions and responsibility, having responsibility, right? Take control of your decisions. The big issue we have is we don't admit making mistakes. We don't admit making mistakes. So the idea is we just need to get out there and start owning our decisions. Own them. Take ownership of your decisions. That may mean something for some of you. If it hit homes for you, knock it out of the ballpark. Take ownership of your decisions. Good, bad, ugly, take ownership. This is one quote I liked. He says, like employees, they go out there and they work a job. What do? They work just hard enough not to get fired, and they pay you just enough to keep you from quitting. That is really lose-lose. And that's so much of our world today. And some of you may feel that's you in the current job you might have. We need to share a compelling and real message with people. Kevin Thompson, attorney, he's a compliance attorney, which he was really good. He talked about how far we've come in network marketing, and he said, remember, you know, franchising was almost, you know, thrown out. It was almost declared illegal back in the 1950s, and now 10% of our GD, gross domestic product, comes from franchising. That's incredible. So he says, where are we going? we're going off the charts, he says. And can we be better? Of course, he talked about self-regulation, other things, but I don't need to get into all that. You can read that. Bob Quintana, he was one of my favorites. He talked about the entrepreneurial salvation, not solution, salvation. Why? Because traditional entrepreneurs need you. And then he talked about how to approach them. Why do they need us? Because they're stuck. Entrepreneurs out there today are like, they're sole proprietors, they're that S quadrant, right? And they're exchanging time for dollars. The small business model's broken. Some of them might be making pots of money, but they have zero time. They can't live a life. There are 28 million small business owners in the U.S. today, and they all need to hear from you. Approximately 543,000 open every month, more shut down than that shut down. 50% fail in 5 years. And most of them are kind of in this kind of place like Subway. If you look at the average income made by a Subway franchise owner, after everything they do throughout the year, they've got to take care of good inventory, bad inventory, good employees, bad employees, location, what's going on, ups and downs in their business, the headaches, reporting, the legal, the everything else, they might pocket $60,000 to $70,000. All that pain and agony, and they got to do it over and over every single year. So compare what we have, right? And why do you want all these entrepreneurs? You want them because they're people that are hard workers. They've paid their dues. They're personally responsible. They're used to taking charge. They're committed, and they're used to little support. So they're perfect. They're the kind of people that, you know, if you had to put down the characteristics you're looking for in our business, it'd be another entrepreneur. So go out. Why are you not approaching these people? Oh, they're on your chicken list. I wonder what the problem is there. You believe system in you. If you don't believe in you, you're not going to make it. It's a choice you make. It's just your beliefs are your choices. How to attract them? Be the person they want to follow. Use your uplines. If you go, well, gosh, I just started. How are they going to want to follow me? Grab your upline or your upline to your upline. Get somebody upline from you that's going to be very, very important to them. One of my people just signed up a lawyer and his wife as an all-star pack, and I did a call with them because he wasn't a lawyer, and he didn't know how to exactly interact with these people, but I did a three-way call with them, and they're on fire, and they can't wait to get started. Those are the people. You follow me? Use your upline. Tap into upline to support you. Kenny Lloyd, he talked about this industry saves lives. Maxwell, difference between those who are successful and those who aren't. Houston Maxwell said they think. Are you a thinker? Friday, Michelle Gielen, she's the founder. By the way, this is Sean Aker's wife. Isn't that awesome? She was up there. She's great. She's the founder. She's a happiness researcher. Isn't that hilarious that Sean Aker would marry a happiness researcher? I thought that was great. I didn't realize that. And they've been married a couple of years because they already have a little boy. Negative news has huge impact. She talked about news. She used to be a newscaster. And she said, you know, I had a hypothesis that if we have incredible power to change people with positive feeds. So she finally got to share. Her goal was to get to New York because every newscaster wants to be in New York. That's the big hubbub of the world when it comes to newscasting. And she finally got there in 07, 08, and she found, oh, my gosh, everything was negative. And then she was sent out to cover the Chicago killing of an innocent girl in a gangland. She was at a birthday party, her birthday party, and a stray bullet from a gang dispute hit her in the head, and she died. Now, what could you find positive out of that? Well, she went there. She went to the funeral, and she experienced this incredible love and support. Hope and resiliency, the support and love pouring out. And she said, see, there's goodness in everything. And she said, so she got back and she got CBS to put on a happy week. And that week that they put on a happy week, no negative news reporting, all happy news, they got more emails from listeners than the entire past 6 years, right? Or say, no, 6 months. So if they accumulated all the emails responses they got for the prior 6 months, they had more email responses that month to that news than they had to any others. She talks about how to broadcast happiness. She says 25% receive higher income rewards. So the happier we are, we receive higher income rewards. 37% of salesmen reached higher sales. 50% of little children, when they're put in an environment of happiness, they put the blocks together 50% faster when they were happy. Isn't that great? So we know it makes a huge impact on ourselves, on who we are. So how many on the call today are not happy? And why are you not happy? You can have 100 excuses, but it's really choice. Choice. Our environment's our environment. We choose whether we're happy or not. So, and choosing to be pessimistic is choosing to be a failure. Choosing to be optimistic is choosing to have the opportunity to create whatever you want to create in life. So it says, how to optimistic depends on how we perceive, you know, stress as a challenge or a threat. So a lot of people perceive stress as a threat. you know, like Mary Jo, I love stress because, of course, as a lawyer, I thrived on it. I'm a problem solver. Whenever there's a conflict or a problem, I want to be right in it and solve it. I want to make a difference for people's lives because I see what it does. It just robs them. And I could go on and on just about this concept, but we don't have time. Positive, optimistic, so little words mean big things. So you want to start every communication with people with something positive. And then she says, stress conversion, how do we rewrite the story? Whatever it is, three steps to helping someone rewrite the story. Isolate the negative or stressful thought, list the known set of facts, and then list the fueling facts that illuminate a new story. You're rewriting the story. Activate and transforms it, okay? Michelle's book is Broadcasting Happiness if you want to get that. She's terrific. Ryan Chamberlain was good as well. He, a big business builder, he decided just to stop hanging on to excuses and really go for it because we can, you know, we can grab onto excuses. They're everywhere. You can decide to take more action. You can decide to be a winner. You can decide to go down a new path. And that's what he did. He says when you go out and you talk to people, he says, why is it that we use the same scripts and some people make it work and some don't? He says, because people are hungry. If you find hunger, find their why. So you got to start looking at, you know, he turned his annual income into weekly income. His why was he has a wife with three kids at home, and she wanted to have a life. She wanted her husband home for birthday parties. She wanted to even have a birthday party for her kids. They couldn't even afford that. So he had a huge why. So he says, what's the price tag holding you back from your dreams? I don't know. The law of first impression, something different top leaders do. So he says, you got to be careful with what you say. If you go out there and you talk to people and say, I just got involved in da-da-da-da, the first thing is going to be a reaction. People's brain's going to go, oh, my gosh, they're going to have an atmospheric negative reaction because they, oh, they're going to try to get me involved in it. So maybe that's not good word. So if that's you're using that, think about relanguaging that. It was great advice. B.K. Barreco is the next guy. He's the founder of Vima. And he told his history about being in Amway with his parents. He always had the us versus them. You know, almost everybody in Amway always had a fight with the corporate office, right, about something over and over and over again. And I'm not sure that that's not epidemic in multi-level marketing companies. But anyway, he decided, I want to be one of them. So he decided to build his own company. He said, one thing we sell one product, all of us, every one of us, no matter what company. We sell hope, transforming lives. That's what we sell. He got into the whole comparison to Subway as well, using the same statistics, which I thought interesting. Those are hot statistics, apparently. And we enjoy results versus going through all that stuff that you have to do running your own entrepreneurial business like a Subway, which is a nightmare, headaches. Trust me, I've been in entrepreneurial businesses all my life. Millennials are going to be outbuying baby boomers in the next 2 years. You got that, people? Millennials are going to be out. So who do you think we should go after? He says Shark Tank is one of the greatest shows. He loved that. Secrets of success, do what duplicates. When get criticism, turn what is meant for pain to fuel your passion. So when people criticize you, you just go, whoa, use that to fuel your passion. Make it, let me show him. When people tell you and they laugh at you about network marketing, some of you could crawl into a shell. You're like a snail. When people laugh at me about network marketing, I go, really? So let me see your last check, you know, right? And when it happened early on, I never questioned it because I love the product. I love the company. So it was the model. I just had to figure out what the model was. That's how I got into it because I never heard of network marketing. I mean, no one ever approached me in my life until I, you know, came across glyconutrients. So the idea was falling in love with the model. But the idea is don't let anyone rob from you. Why are you giving people power over you? That's my first question. Why? Why? And most of the people that do that to you, where are they? Are they multimillionaires? Are they people that are living the life of their dreams? No, these are crabby, cranky people that really don't want you to be successful in the reality because they're not. So why do you let them rob you of your dreams? Crazy stuff, yeah? So don't do that, all right? And that's what he talked about. And don't have time to – and people that you get involved and you feel like you have to coax them to get them into the business, you know, you don't have time to coax them all the way through it either. So be careful on what you're looking for. Look for people who are hungry. Everyone gets put in hot water. It's how you respond to it. Again, the same kind of concept. Stress. How do you view stress? A challenge? An opportunity? What do you view your challenge? You got to look at how I view stress. That's a huge factor in all of these things. You look at it as, you know, something that's going to move you forward, catapult you forward. And John Maxwell said, who do you know that I should know? That language, I want you to write those down. Those are phenomenally important. 8 words that are phenomenally important. Who do you know that I should know? You should use that with everybody that you meet. Who do you know that I should know? Scott Burnett talked a little bit. I don't have much on him about asset protection. That just means protect yourself once you get the assets, but a lot of you are waiting to accumulate those assets, but you need to protect them. You need to have ways that creditors can't come after you. Somebody sues you, you get in a car accident, all of a sudden everybody's suing you because they find out what you're worth, because I can find out what your net worth is. Just, you know, there's an asset search company out there that you pay so much to, and they'll tell me every asset you own. So it's available at my fingertip today. So you got to be sure that you're in a place where you're protecting yourself as you get big. Steve Taubman, some of you heard about him. He's a psychologist, and he does a great job about, you know, how we get over those limiting beliefs. He talks all about limiting beliefs because, you know, our biggest challenge is motivation. And where does motivation come from? It comes from our belief system. We're motivated if we really believe. If you really believe there are four gold, it's Sarah Robbins, 4 gold bricks in your backyard, when would you stop digging for them? Never. So some of you don't believe that network marketing can provide you 4 gold bricks. That's why you needed to be at this convention, to watch 60 different millionaires get up and talk about the results in their business and how they did it and what's most important for you to help you get there. What's stopping you? If it's motivation, it's about your belief system. So you got to work on those limiting beliefs. He says there are 3 ways you can increase belief. Affirmations. But only about 20% tend to be successful after 20 weeks. Some people disagreed with that in the audience. They thought, well, if you write them accurately and you get support for them in different ways, you can make that about 50% or 75% of people. So affirmations do work. But they don't work as effectively as subconscious brain training. 80% effective after 3 weeks. That's pretty awesome. And then you can get a lobotomy. That's probably not a good alternative. So he's all into brain training, and he talks about the first 3 steps of the system. He's reprogramming, helping you reprogram that brain, creating receptivity. You know, silence becomes a very important part of that. Number 2 is eliminating the negative programs that are running your life, and then installing powerful messages. Because what? Your subconscious works on pictures, right? And all you're doing, you're going to change visions. You're going to change the visuals of the subconscious because it works on pictures. That's really cool. So, and he's got a lot of books out there and materials, and you can look to find people who are into the same kind of business he is if you need a little reprogramming. The interesting thing about this, you know, people won't buy his books. I bought his books last time when I heard him, which is a few years back. People won't buy his books because they cost $190 or something. But you're going to go out there and spend 12 months doing Manatech and fail miserably, but you won't invest $190 in the most important thing that's holding you back. If you knew the $190 would set you free and you'd create millions, would you do it? Of course you would. But why? What's wrong with your belief system? Your belief system is holding you back from believing that you could even do that. So you're really stuck. You're like in this double stuck thing. You should invest in yourself. That's where we need to invest. We are the ones holding ourselves back. It's not Manatech. It's not Ambertos. It's not the product. It's not the company. It's not the business plan. It's not the comp plan. It's not anything. It's us. It's us. We're holding ourselves back. Paula Pritchard then came up, and Paula, you probably know about. She's now with a new company. She just shifted again. But she's a great speaker. I love her book, Owning Yourself. That's a great book, and I bought that one too. It's super. We're all made to be free. And she said, once you have the taste of success, you become an unemployable. And that's very true about us. She talked about her history, about how she was miserable. The first, you know, 15 months were impossible. And her upline said, finally she went to him and he said, you know what? Maybe you don't have the right people. And so he says, you got to look. If your group doesn't excite you, you have the wrong group. Go find another group. And that's what she did. She didn't abandon her downline. She just moved on to find people that excited her. And that's who she worked with, people who excited you. So let me ask you a question. All right, when you're working with your upline, do you think you excite your upline or do you think you depress them? Do you want to get support from your upline or not? So maybe it's a question now, and maybe your upline's so desperate they're supporting you anyway because they can't figure out how to find people who are excited. But the idea is that you want to step into excitement because that's going to attract more attention. You start doing more activity, and you're going to attract more attention from your upline. Don't you agree with that? Absolutely. So you got to be excited. I mean, your upline can go out and find 25 people. If they're already successful, they can go do it again. So you want to be really focused on how can I make my business exciting by more activity by me. But again, working on that belief system first. She started using language. I'm going to the top. I don't know if you want to go with me, but I'm definitely going there, right? That kind of power of positive thought. So people, I say, well, Mary Jo, what if they ask me what my check's like? I said, it's not about what your check's like. It's about where are you going. People want to latch on to people who are going somewhere. If you're not going anywhere, why would I ever want to do business with you? Think about it. If you're out there looking at a new business and somebody goes, well, yeah, I've been doing this for 6 years and blah, 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 and, you know, I'm kind of snail's pace. Right. Oh, yeah, I can't wait to sign up with you. Yeah. Okay. Hey, man, I'm all in. Are you kidding? Those are the people you want in your business, but are you the attractor factor that's going to get them there? And it's not about your past. It's about what's your attitude today about where you're going, right? Make the decision. Attitude, commitment, tenacity. Know those words. Look them up. Define them. Put definitions to them. Use them every day. Discipline. It takes massive quantities of discipline in this business, and there's no doubt about it. You got it. You know, these people out there, I mean, they did incredible things. You'll hear about one of the millennials. He closed down his, he packed up all the belongings he had, put it in storage, and he went overseas for 2 years. He's now a multimillionaire, and he's not even 30 years old. Because he said, I know that if I dedicate these 2 years of my life to doing this, I know where it's going to take me. And you know what? It has. How many of us are willing to do that? And you go, well, I got a family and I got this and I got that. Yeah, we're all in different places. But what is it about your lack of discipline? You have a family. So are you disciplining to put 2 hours a night into your business? No, so that gets out. You know, things get in the way. Things happen. Da, da, da. Great. Next. That's what I say to you. Where's the discipline? I even put together a document. 2 hours a week. How to do Manatech with 2 hours a week. That's all I need. 2 hours a week. You can do Manatech. But people don't even do that. So it's a commitment. Are you disciplined? Are you disciplined to do it? It can create incredible results for you, but you have to be disciplined. Donna Johnson, there's my fave. She's from Wisconsin. Wisconsin. She is the absolute top earner in her company called Arbonne. This woman, you know, you ask her how much money she makes. And I didn't ask her. She does this from stage. She goes, I make gangster money. Gangster money. Isn't that wonderful thing? I started laughing. Gangster money. Because she's not going to tell you how much she makes. But she's absolutely a seven-figure earner, but she makes gangster money. And she just married a guy about half her age who is absolutely gorgeous from Sweden who also makes gangster money because he's in network marketing as well. He's a high school dropout. We hear from him later. But anyway, she talks about who do you attract? You attract people like you. Tell the truth. Tell your story. It takes work. It is network marketing. I love that concept. It takes work. But she talked about integrity and honesty, love on people. Here's another thing I loved. You compare the alternatives. We hear that over and over again all weekend. We are not hunting. We are fishing. We're fishing. When you're hunting, it's a different story. You're going after people. When you're fishing, you're waiting for people to bite. Very different. Notice? Very different. Think about that. It's a great concept. I loved it. I wrote it down. I gave it to you guys. Four things to get the million-dollar business. Follow the system that duplicates. Become successful in your own backyard, right? Cut your teeth in your local area. Get good locally and then expand. Turn the addition that happened locally to multiplication around the U.S. and globally. Use technology. Use the tools. That's our suggestions. They had a panel discussion on greatest obstacles to our greatest opportunities in life. And, you know, one piece of it, it asked everybody, give us one piece of advice. Need to listen to your mentors. Don't compare your journey to anyone else. Become a dreamer again. Do whatever it takes. Be very prayerful at times. Be prepared for unexpected. Network marketing is not about the money. It is who you become in the process and who you help on the way. Always come from the heart. Love always wins. If you just take that one section of the outline on page 7 and you implement that, you'll be a multimillionaire. Really, that's one of the, circle that, everybody, it's one of the best. Brian McMullen, another guy in network marketing, 21 years. His first six companies went out of business. He says it takes 10,000 hours to become great at anything, and he had 7 years of concept practice. The mistake we make, we try to get people. Same thing that Donna said. Remember, what did she say? She said, we're not hunters. We don't try to get people. We go fishing. We put out bait. Be attractive first. You got to attract people. Attract people. So you need to be attractive first. That means you need to have high belief, right? Yeah, I believe. It doesn't mean you have to look good. It just means you have to have a great belief system and some energy and be positive. Those kind of characteristics are attractor factors. Look it up. Look up what attracts people. Positive, people that focus on others first, you know, put other people first. Those are characteristics. Develop those characteristics. You'll be marvelous. Dr. Heidi Hanna, she's an author. She wrote the book Recharge, which I bought. I thought it was great. Investment strategies for your most valuable resource, which is your brain. And you can read through this stuff. I'm not going to go through much of it. It was phenomenal, some of the things that she talked about, how our brain and our heart work together and all the studies they're doing about brain and relaxation. I thought it was really cool that, you know, that right now they can measure the electromagnetic fields that come out of our heart up to 3 feet out, our electromagnetic field. So what do you think if you really come from your heart and they can measure the electromagnetic field coming out of our heart up to 3 feet, what do you think happens to you when you're a love bunny and you get to go out there in public? Do you think people get that you're really loving them? You get this. Isn't this cool? I love this. Because it talks to me about evangelism. It talks to me about prospecting with Manatech. I love being a love bunny. So, you know, this is awesome stuff. It just verifies and validates why all these people that are on stage are talking about love and caring about putting other people first, right? Same stuff, because it's true. Our heart pulls out electromagnetic fields, and it's read up to, they've figured out at least up to, right now they know it goes out 3 feet out, that electromagnetic field that our heart puts out there. You guys, we really communicate. I mean, there's some fascinating studies that she has that are absolutely wild. They're crazy wild. I mean, she gave a lot of examples of them that you see how we impact other people's responses because we have a mimicking gene, and it's pretty crazy. So it's about energy we bring. We bring not the time we have. So it's not about how much time you spend with somebody. It's what when you're with somebody, are you really with them? Or are you distracted? And she says, you know, you want to practice about your energy level and things like that. And she says recharging ourselves and our brain. She also said something about multitasking. I think, yeah, she said multitasking. They did research on it, and they found out multitasking is a brain drain. So we should stop multitasking. You know, some of us brag about how we can multitask. We need to stop it. We need to focus on one thing because we're just draining, exhausting our brain. So help restore our brain. Help recharge ourselves. And she said practice during a given day. She gives during the time, bedtime, morning, nourishment, move at least every 60, 90 minutes, every hour, give yourself a mental break. You know, she talks about this, about how to keep that brain, because you treat your brain. You know, we talk about our bodies physically, how we want to help that, and a lot of us don't do a good job at that, but we're working at it, and I'm in that category. I'm working on it. But this is about what are we doing to feed our brain and protect our brain? Wow, this is stuff, people, good stuff. I never thought about it, but, you know, and I love this, and I'm going to start implementing a lot of this in my life as well. Cody Bateman, president of Send Out Cards, he wrote MLM Blueprint as his book, and what does he talk about? Same thing we've been talking about for the first 7-8 pages of the outline. It's belief. Your belief levels need to become really high. Do people believe you? Unless they believe, they will see that in you. They will see it in you that you don't believe. So you need to be a believer. You need to have great strength in your beliefs about what? Your company, your products, your industry, your ability to lead, your ability to make it in this business. Those are the most critical factors that you need to have strong beliefs in. People will see that. So he's talking about limiting beliefs. In his MLM Blueprint book is about our beliefs around multi-level marketing. If you don't believe in it, it's going to come across strong. I mean, it's going to really come out. So there are affirmations to help you start the blueprint process. And I'm telling you guys to go on Lydia's Facebook page. I didn't print them all on here. She put them out on her Facebook page. Go to Lydia's Facebook page and you can see all the affirmations. They're great. Develop one for you. My idea is to take the printout. What I'm going to do is I'm going to develop it, emboss it, and I'm going to give it out to my leaders in my organization and let them do what they want to do with it. But it's about a statement of affirmations about, you know, do we believe in this MLM blueprint? Sarah Robbins, you guys all know her, Rockin' Robbins, right? Rock Your Network Marketing Business. She's terrific, a multimillionaire over and over again. So she says, you know, some people look at you and they think you're always positive and everything always goes great. She goes, I crashed. She talked about a couple of years back where she crashed. She was in, you know, in her highlight, and she crashed. She was having a tough time. She was caving in, everything around her. And, she, you know, the walls were caving in, and she had to start identifying her purpose, having a plan, commit to personal growth, and perseverance. So identifying your purpose, know your why. And she said, for me, my why is I want to build all these orphanages. She says, but, you know, when I first got started, I didn't have the money to do that. So I just started taking extra money and doing little things in my community with it because it was part of the plan. I can put on my calendar, by this year I want to be building an orphanage, but I want to be building into that. So be a part of your why every day or every week or every month. Make it part of your why. Well, I thought that was a good idea. Have a plan. You got to have a plan. Got to have a plan. Personal growth is critical. Absolutely. You can't starve yourself while you're feeding everybody else. And activity, you know, perseverance. Keep active every day. She says 3 to 5 leads per day keeps your business healthy, and that's her philosophy. How many of you get 3 to 5 leads a day? One guy said in here, he said, network marketing, he says the average network marketing gets less than 2 leads a day. Oh, there you go. You can go, okay, I want to be average. Oh, your choice. Your choice. These people at this conference were not average. Some of them came from broken families. One of them got kicked out of his house at 16. His dad was a drunk, and he beat him up, and he kicked. I mean, some of them were high school dropouts. These people, I mean, you think you had some bad history. Some of the histories of some of these people were off the charts bad. But you know what? They overcame because they went out and they researched, and they searched, and they found out what is it that's going to make or break me in this life. I didn't do that. I mean, I just followed the trek right through college and everything else. I wasn't researching what's going to make or break me. I thought college, that's what I was told, college education, go get a good degree, get a good job, blah, 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 you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, what a bunch of blah, blah, blah. You are your most important asset. You. So invest in you. Read good books. Follow the masters. Follow the mentors. Find out what makes it work, right? That's an important thing. Sarah Robbins is one of the heavyweights. Orrin Woodward, he wrote our book, right? Leadership Revolution, we love so much and we're using today. We're launching a Leadership Revolution. That's Orrin Woodward. Great guy. And he was great. I mean, he got up there, he talked about it. You know, he was out there and he was very anal. He said, I didn't have any friends. I had zero friends. Zero friends. And he said he went out, got a job, found him, fell in love, and begged his wife to marry him. And finally he married her, and he made big promises to her when they got married that, honey, you'll never have to work a day in your life. After when we have kids, you'll get to be a stay-at-home mom, da-da-da. And, of course, his job didn't produce that. In fact, they found themselves 3-4 years into marriage, and they were constantly broke, even though she was working and he was working. They never could make the ends meet, pay the mortgage, pay the this. Many of you can feel that pain. That's what he was going through. And then the worst of all worlds came in. His wife came in and said, I'm pregnant, and I want to be a stay-at-home mom. And he goes, well, you know, I told you that. But, and he goes, no, you promised. Orrin, you promised. What was he going to say? He says, I went crazy. He said, somebody then approached me at business and said, hey, listen, I really want you to look at some. What? He says, yeah, I want to give you some tapes. Blah, blah, blah. And he gave him two tapes, not a whole shoebox full of tapes, two. He said, those tapes changed my life. One was Paul Pilser's Economic Paradigms. I'm going to have to go get that one because I've never heard of it. But he said, and it's not that tape in particular. It's about finding people in the right place. Was he in the looking zone? Oh, my gosh. Multiple. Okay? He said, your business is ultimately a shadow of your character. You're looking for people who are hungry. It took him 5.5 years to get 200 people in his organization. So what are you guys complaining about? Oh, but I wanted to be, you know, I wanted to be Wendy Kramer in 6 months. Or I wanted, you know, I mean, it took him 5.5 years to get 200 people in his organization. It took me 1 year to get 200 people in my organization. I don't know how you've spent 5.5 years, but I mean, that's called patience. He wasn't making anything. He was hilarious. He said, I just needed to fail forward. He said, it didn't matter. Can't lose if you go to the front and fail again. So there's so many ways to fail. You just choose a different one every time. So he said, face the dragon, beat it, and then there will be another dragon. He says, guaranteed. But now he's a multi-millionaire, of course. And he got into what's called the financial matrix cube. I'm not going to get into that, but you guys can read through it. It's pretty fascinating stuff. I think he really has a handle on this, but it's fascinating about where our country's going. And you know what? Network marketing is the key to solving this crisis, this concept about control. Because when you're in network marketing, nothing controls you. right? You're not part of an economic system. You're independent of the job market. You do it. You're an independent business person. You control decisions on what you do with your money. No one controls you. Isn't that awesome? So it's just great. But read through that, and you can understand it. Sean Aker then spoke, and Sean, of course, is the greatest guy. A happiness advantage. You guys know that. I will be happy when I'm successful. That's pathetic. I'll be happy when I'm. You should never say I'll be happy when. What the problem is the word when. The problem is that you'll be happy when you choose to be happy. So choose to be happy and success will come upon you. Start with the choice of happiness, right? And that's what he talks about in his book and everything else. He says, you know, we don't want to stress. Stress is inevitable. But again, just like his wife, do we look at it as threats or challenges? We want it to be a challenge. You know, when something happens, as it hits us, it's a challenge. We overcome challenges. Threats, we get fear. We don't want to come from fear. Fear robs us. It rapes us of our effectiveness. What hits first sticks, so happiness is a choice for most people. They default to the genes and environment. That's what they found. You know, there's actually a propensity. There's a pessimist gene out there that they theorize and they prove that exists, a pessimist gene. But he says there's a 45-minute exercise you can do to trump your pessimist gene and overcome that. And that is every day you what? You spend time looking at three things, 45 minutes every morning, outlining three things that you're grateful for, and you do it every single day. Three things I'm grateful for every single day, and that's an exercise. And I've done that. I've shared that with you guys on a Monday call in the past, and it's awesome. I share it with my downline. I think the flight team took over my paper that we put together for what we do, and they're using it now in the flight team, which is great. But it's a great thing to help convert you. If you're a pessimist, get back into optimist. Where are you today? Shift. Right? All right. Friday night, there was a panel on ethical concerns in your business. You can review that. I'm not going to go over those things. Brian Carruthers was the next speaker because I'm just on Friday night. I got all day Saturday to go. Ay, ay, ay. Recruited 10 for 10 years. You can look at he talked about time management, 25% contacting new prospects, 25% doing three-way calls, 25% follow-up, 25% calling his team. What I liked about Brian Carruthers is number 9. He created core teams. He get 5 or 10 new people involved and he put them in a team together and have them work together and have a Monday call where they had a half an hour call and he gave them exactly what to talk about. First 3 to 5 minutes, he talked about KPI, key performance in there. Then they spend up to 12 minutes, leader teaches a topic. Then it should be 10 to 12 minutes there, people. It's a few typos in here. 10 to 15 minutes, topics to help each other. And in 5 to 7 weeks, you know what they did? They set up their own core groups underneath them. And it was just what he was doing, he was teaching people to grow away from him. Choose right, decide, finish what you start. Big ideas. Tiffany Mallett, big butts. She was great. If you're using the word butt in your vocabulary, you ought to just take it out. It doesn't belong there. Just like the word try. Get rid of them. The word butt doesn't exist. The one thing that really strikes me as really critical was the idea that when you use the word butt, everything you say before the butt is a big lie. You can go, la-da-da-da-da-da-da, but. You just lie. Everything you said before is a lie. Understand that and start applying it in your life. But if you're a butt person, trust me, get out of it. I don't use the word butt in my life. It doesn't exist because why do I waste my time with all the other stuff if I'm going to put a butt in my sentence? It doesn't matter. So get rid of it. Awareness is number one. You must believe you can get rid of them. You have to see yourself buttless. Speak it. We got this. Move the butt out of the way and move yourself into action. David Sculpty. He was a good guy. This guy, I think this is a guy that came from nowhere. I mean, nothing. He said power of belief, of course, mindset, a lot of these things we've talked about before. His big thing was a network notebook. That's what he did. Who do you know? He asks everybody, who do you know? He knows that the person he met may not be the person that's who they know. And it's not about you, daring to care. We talked about that. So he gives you the 10 keys to success. You can look at those and run through them. Carlos Marin was terrific. In fact, I gave you www.carlosmarin.com/free at the end of that section so you can go to the book to read it for everyone. But he talks about all the C's, the 7 secrets to success, clarity, committed, courage, constructive focus. And he talks about people doing them backwards, the C's backwards. Right? We need courage, which leads to commitment, and those who produce courage and commitment, yeah? Right? How do you get courage? You generate it. Face the fear and do it anyway. Because, you know, courage and commitment is really what we need. And confident leads to commitment, leads to courage, creates capability, which breeds more confidence. Some people think it's backwards, but it's really, we got to start with courage. We have to have courage, right? You got to get out there and do it. Overcome it. Courage. So read his book. It's online for you, free. Saturday, Thomas Tidlin. This is a guy from Sweden who married my favorite, Donna Johnson, from Wisconsin. He's darling. He was a high school dropout, and he always leads with love and truth. And he studied. He took money that he didn't have, and he flew over to the United States, and he studied people who are successful. And he just met up with people that were successful, and he studied them, and he read books, and he just said, and he was a high school dropout. And now he's making net break and boat sink and increase. I mean, he's making gangsta money, right? And he says, just, you know, you continue to seek wisdom in your life. Unsuccessful people search for money. He also used the statement, instead of fake it until you make it, he said, faith it until you make it. Have faith. Faith it until you make it, which I love so much more. I never used the fake it until make it because I couldn't stand the word fake it. It was awful. People taught me that 15 years, 18 years, when I first started in this industry, and I was like, where do I barf, right? Then Todd Falcone, you know what? He did this whole piece on why network marketing all through slides. Guess what? I have all his slides, and I'm going to do this piece for you guys 2 weeks from now. Next week's Memorial Day, so I'm going to cover Todd Falcone and why network marketing because it's hugely important. You got to believe in your industry. Otherwise, where are you? A good consumer. Okay, millennial panel. Oh, I'm not going to run through all this. You guys, you can read all this, but it's critically important that you do. The millennials were awesome. These guys, they're in their 20s. They're making seven-figure income in their 20s. And you go, well, what's wrong with me? Read what they have to say. And they gave great distinctions on what works and what. They're not into home parties. They're not into, you know, they don't want to do all that kind of stuff. They love social media. They love one-on-one type stuff. They hate cold calling. They won't ever do cold calling. That's not their shtick. They have 101 ways of contacting people, and it's not cold calling. So you got to approach millennials. They give you a lot of advice. You can notice that I went through all of them. Number one was what attracts you to – they asked them a different question. What attracts you to network marketing? So you can understand that. What do baby boomers do in recruiting that turns you off? Tell about your success, the context of it, and then tell one bit of advice. And one of my favorites is highlighted there. Find five people who don't look like you, different demographics. Build your business as a reflection of the world. You don't have to become an expert overnight, right? That's great advice, great, great advice. So read through that. It's terrific stuff. Tom and Denise Chenault were funny. Tom is hilarious. Denise is what holds the glue together in that family. But they believe in this coffee shop interview. They know, that's what they do. They do coffee shop interviews, making sure we're not the center of your universe. You are. Be interested, not interesting. Make effort to contact mapping. Know them. What's in it for them? More we give to others, the more we get. My goal every day, make every interaction that they feel better at. That's his goal. Tom's goal was every day, my make every interaction that they feel better after they left me because of our interaction. And you know what? That's what I tell people today when I do three-way calls. People go, well, what's your goal in a three-way call? You want to hear what my goal is in a three-way call? My goal is that when I get done with a three-way call, that person on the other line never wants to be living another day of their life without Mary Jo in it. That's my goal. That's a goal I set for every three-way call I do. Following? Pretty cool, huh? When you start doing that, watch the effective rate go off the charts. But you got to start loving yourself first. You got to start believing in yourself first, right? So work on your own belief system and what you have to offer them and how you can make a difference in their lives. All of that can happen. Do you have to be there today? No. You could be making $5 a month in Manatech, and you could have that belief because you know where you're going. Remember, it's about where are you going, not where you've been. The past is ancient history. So where are you going? We sell hope to people, right? Everyone thinks about changing the world, but few think about changing themselves. It all starts with you. Changing you. Sandy Bodkin talked. I'm not going to go through his stuff because he's big on the tax bot. I'm not big on tax bot. When people ask me advice, I tell them I'm not sold on it. And one of the most important reasons is that the IRS says that if I keep track of my mileage for 3 months, January, February, March, or whatever 3 months you pick, I can extrapolate the rest of the year. So I don't have to keep track for 12 months. So he's got a great tracking system that just runs your phone dry on energy because it eats up so much energy and robs your battery. You can do that system, and you can, you know, and it helps. It's very, you know, information driven. But I prefer the short method. I only keep track of those expenses January, February, March. Done. I'm done. By April 1, I don't have to keep track of any mileage anymore the rest of the year. How would you like that? That's what the IRS says in the regulations. Sandy's not going to tell you that because it undercuts his whole sale of TaxBot. But that's the way the IRS is. MC says, I won't go through his conversation. Keith Halls is a great guy. He has 9 rules of success. He's got a great book out there if you want to read about him. His story is extreme. He had 2 brain tumors. This guy, I mean, he couldn't even talk. It took him 2 years to relearn how to talk. And, I mean, he just made a fortune in network marketing. And he it was a great lesson he learned. He screwed up, and his mom said, Keith, why don't you just talk to the ladies in this room like you talk to me? And he started coming from his heart. And you know what? Within a year, he had 100,000 people in his organization. It's incredible. So he's become a millionaire both in. He was on the staff at Nu Skin. He was part of the beginning, the guys that started the company, and he made millions there. And then he decided to step out and do network marketing, and he's now made millions there as well. They had a panel on Facebook and social media. That's a great one. Read through all that stuff, too, because it's really critical that you know how to use social media. And these guys were social media junkies. I mean, these guys are living and dying on this. There were people on there that are multimillionaires in network marketing, and they grew their business exclusively on social media. So don't tell me it can't be done. Pretty amazing. But how much time do they spend on it? A lot, because it's their exclusive way. Their advice is, though, don't make it. This is just one other tool. But how to do it is really important, right? It's really important. So read all the – there's great information in that part of it. Mike Sims talked about a few things. Shanita Puraniputra, she's from Thailand. She was the gal that came over here and lived in an apartment, and then all of a sudden she said, I can't do this. And she became a multimillion-dollar earner in her business. I mean, multimillion-dollar. Her house looks like the White House. I mean, it's incredible. But that's her choice. I mean, she's doing a lot of great things, and all of her kids are in it, and all her kids are building orphanages and doing all sorts of – I mean, it's really neat to see this family. I mean, they really have it down. And she talks about the 9 steps to be successful. So review those and make sure you're tackling each one of those. But attitude is critical. You got to be hungry, and that's what she talks about. And you want – who do you want in your business? You want swans. S, you want sharp and smart people. W, you want people who work hard. A, you want to have people with the right attitude. And N, you want people nice, with integrity, because dishonesty will destroy. Next, Tan Nguyen, and he talked about recruiting people through webinars, opportunities. And he says 95% of people have no clue about your business. So he says always whenever you're out there doing presentations, start with direct selling. You know, we do that in our Choose Your Lifestyle. We talk about mega trends and direct sales. Before we talk about Manatech, we talk about direct sales because there are a lot of people that don't understand the model. Okay? There are 10,000 multi-level marketing companies out there. There are $200 billion in sales they're doing. 60 years in the industry, 100-plus million distributors. That's incredible. And then he gives you the why you direct selling. I'm going to train on that through using the stuff Todd Falcone gave us. Doug Feuerbau, he was awesome. You guys know all about Doug Feuerbau, 27 years in this business. It was great. And this is another guy. I didn't know his background. He came from nothing. He was dead poor. He was absolutely dead poor, you know. And he gave a lot of great stuff. He talks about the 5 fuels of recruiting, to work through those. You know, most people are looking out there when you're out and recruiting, you're trying to get something from somebody. You know, you want to give something. You have something to give somebody. Take the different attitude. You have something to give somebody. Recruiting is not a transaction. It's a transformation of the person. I love that language. Isn't that awesome? We're helping transform people. 5 fuels of recruiting are there. Most people will never believe in themselves unless you tell them. So he says that's the number one. When you talk about possibility, power, belief, performance, propulsion, possibility, I can see this. Okay, people can do that. Power, you can do this. Transfer the power to them, they can do it. Belief, I believe this is possible. I believe that this is possible. Performance, I am doing this. Propulsion, they're exploding it. Okay, those are the 5 fuels of recruiting. He says the biggest gap is the one about the power transfer. Because most people will never believe in themselves unless you tell them. So he gave a bunch of these. I put 4 of the power drops, and then what happened is Lydia actually took pictures of what was on the screen. So that's what you're seeing below that, the video, any email. These are ways, languaging people, that you can transfer power. But what's the problem if you don't have power yourself? How do you transfer it? You got to believe in yourself. right? So again, it starts with belief in you. But understanding the importance of empowering people, making them feel great that they can do that, this is all about they have, that's what causes people to get stuck. They don't believe in self. You got to do the transfer the power to them. And then he said, don't just talk at people. Don't just talk with people. Don't just talk to people. Talk into people and grow them out of their limits. Isn't that powerful? The last line in that section, highlight that. Live it, breathe it, do it. Lisa Grossman, she was good. She gave a lot. She's the one that was in jail for a couple of years for some kind of federal offense or something. A multimillionaire now, you know. She really talks about, you know, and she's kind of nuts and bolts, really dry speaker. But you can read through some of the stuff in there. It's about, our solution is about community. I love the fact that she said, you must own the company you joined. You must own the company you joined. Until you do that, you won't succeed. In other words, do you believe in Manatech? Do you believe in Ambertos? Do you believe in our corporate structure? Do you believe in, I believe in these guys. I mean, I know them. I know they're, you know, no one's perfect. And I'm far from perfect. But I believe in these people. I believe in Joel. I believe in Al. I believe in Bob Adam. These guys, I mean, we got an incredible staff of people that are fighting for us every day of their life. And so, you know, I believe in them. And if you won't get anywhere unless you have a belief in your company. You can't. Because you're going to come out as a phony. You're not going to come out true. So it's really important that to know that their intent is true, their hearts are right, and they care about you. Make sure they're of the highest integrity. Presley Swaggerty, high school basketball coach for 14 years. Oh, this guy was great too. 4 P's in network marketing. The secret in network marketing is to lie, cheat, and steal. And you go, Mary Jo, you just talked about integrity for an hour. Yeah, lie awake, not away. There's another typo. Sorry, people. I'm going to have to clean some of this up. You can imagine how many hours it took me to type it all. I'm not saying I deserve any credit. I'm just saying it was all the rest of the weekend, like all day Sunday and this morning from 6 o'clock on. Lie awake in bed at night thinking of names. Cheat away time in your busy life to do this. Steal every good line you hear and use it in your business. Don't you love that? Lie, cheat, and steal. That's a secret. It says go so far as you can. Go as far as you can see, and then once you get there, you're going to go further because you'll see further. And it was interesting. He just got hungry. He just finally said last – he was a high school basketball coach, and he's digging through his ashtray to try to find change to buy an iced tea or some or a cup of coffee. And he just finally – he asked a friend for advice. This is a great concept. Give me about – can you give me – 5 more minutes, people, I'll get through it. A great concept. He said he went and asked a friend for advice, and his friend asked him 3 questions. How much money did you save last year? And Presley said, nothing. I mean, this guy came from dead broke. His family was poverty stricken. He said, I didn't save anything last year. He says, what do you mean? How do I save money? I can hardly live on what I have. He says, what books did you read last year? He says, what do you mean? I don't read books. I'm done with school. And he said, what goals did you set last year? He goes, I have goals. And he goes, you don't do those 3 things, you're never getting out of where you are. Save your money, read books, set goals. You don't chase success, you attract success by the person you become. And he said the 4 P's, plan, prepare, produce, provide. You can look it through those. And he talked about the Manny story. At the end there was Manny's story. And what was that was about was Manny was a cousin of his that had made a lot of money. And he was a young little kid, and he watched Manny, and he used to take his bike over to Manny's house. And Manny had a phenomenal impact on him because Manny got him to believe that there was a better way. And he goes, look at yourself today. How many relatives, cousins, nephews, nieces, second nephews, nieces, grandchildren are looking at you? And what impact are you having on their lives that there is a better way? You know, I think that's huge for us to understand. We're having impact on people when we don't even realize it. So when you quit or you give up or you're not investing in you and you're allowing your beliefs to hold you back, it's not just about you. What image are you setting for the rest of your family, for the rest of the people around you? What if you became a Donna Johnson? What image would you set? And you don't have to become a multimillionaire in Manatech. Just get the presidential where you're making $5,000-$6,000 a month. What image would that set for people in your environment? Or maybe your goal is just an extra $2,000 a month. Well, get there. Why have you been waiting for 8 years to do it? Do it. Build the belief in it. Because people are looking at you, and they're going to evaluate the industry, and they're going to evaluate what their hopes are and what they can do in life based on what they see you do. I know that. I'm a perfect example of that. And my kids, Hugh's daughters, are both, they're 30 and 40 years old right now, and they're both multimillionaires. Multimillionaires. You get this? I wasn't, no one did that for me. I didn't have that image in my life. I grew up in a very poor family, right? But they got to see Mary Jo, and I helped them. I sat back. I said, what do you want to be when you grow up? You want to think big. Get outside the box. What do you want to have? I'm still helping them. I mean, in counseling and things like that, but they're really pretty sophisticated in what they're doing today. But as they got off the ground in their 20s, yeah, I was there for them. And they looked at me and they believed, because what did they see in Mary Jo? And that's the important thing. What are we doing? What are we creating, or what are we robbing our kids from, or our grandkids, or whatever? So that was a big, that Manny story was big for me. Sunday was a great day too. I didn't get to go. This, and these are all notes from Lydia, so I'm just going to share those with you and have you go through them. You can take peeks at each of them, because I can't even support all the different things that were said, but there's a lot of great stuff in there for you to review. And it was great. So any questions, comments, people? Did you feel like you just went through a four-day seminar?
This was great, Carl. Thank you so very much.
Yeah, thanks, Anita. Anyone find something that I talked about? Did I hit on something in the outline that helped you pinpoint something in your life?
Yes.
Great. Thanks, Anita.
Some great resources, Mary Jo. It makes me want to have been there, and it also, I can imagine, overwhelmed with that many speakers.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, absolutely. And you can imagine the note-taking experience, too.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
massive.
I'm not as good as you at taking notes, so I'm glad you did
right.
it.
Yeah, but it, Michael, it was awesome. It was, and being in that environment, I mean, you know, yeah. you're just hooting and hollering. You just, it's like, you want to take this to the world. You want to, I wanted to go, I would get done and I want to go to my next door neighbor's house and knock on the door and say, when are you going to get it? You know?
Yeah. Well, it's like you say, I think Ron said it first, you know, if you want to know someone's income, take a look at the five people that hang out with or closest to them. So.
Yeah, that's true too. That came out quite a few times from
in
stage as well.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. Thanks, Michael.
So it's good to hang out with millionaires, that's for sure.
And I'm telling you, it's awesome. And you could see, you know what, they all loved being there together, too. You could see they just loved, I mean, they have so much love and admiration for each other. It's neat to, you know, there's no competitive thing. It's
yeah.
it's just they all love each other, you know, and they all just love the industry. They love each other, and they just want it, and they want you to be where they are.
Funny
because, you know, what's so neat about this model, Michael, is there's
yeah.
unlimited space.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the thing that struck me. I sat there and I was like going, you know, in corporate America, it's limited. There is only one CEO. There's only so many vice presidents. There's only so many. In network marketing, it's unlimited.
In
we in Manatech, we can produce a million platinum presidentials. There's no limit on how many platinums we can produce. The only limit is us. We're the limiting.
The corporate America route has plenty of middle managers that are scared to death that you might look better than they will. So.
Exactly. Isn't that crazy? It is. And they're all dog eat dog. They figure the only way for me to get ahead is I step on you. You know, it's a whole different environment. I mean, and so negative, you know, whereas this environment is so positive. It's just unlimited possibilities. But we've got to choose them, right? Amen.
Great call. Thanks.
Thanks. Thanks. Anyone else? Okay, everyone, enjoy, dig into it. And next week, again, one more time, next Monday is Memorial Day, so I will not be on a call, and hopefully you will not either. And then the Monday after, we're going to go over why network marketing. I'm going to hammer home to you all the information Todd Falcone presented, because I thought it was so powerful. Not that it was any more powerful than the rest of this, but I think a lot of you might be still stuck in that area. So I think it's a good thing to get out there. Data and information, how you can sell it to people, how you can buy into it yourself so that you really got it rock solid, down pat, that there's no doubt that you belong here. Okay, everyone, have a great week. Happy Memorial Day to y'all. Thanks. Bye, everyone.